thank you, Jesus, that you are a God of victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome to Wednesday night service. We're so glad you're here with us in person. And we're so happy for all of you who are joining us online as well. If you're joining us online, we do have a bit.ly link for you to fill out. You can see it on the screen right now. If you click on that, there's just a little bit of information. We'd like to get to know you. It's amazing that we can have a body of people here in person and then such a large body of people who we don't even see. And I say that's amazing because I get the blessing of processing the offerings for Jesus, and there are checks that come in from people that I don't know who they are. And so the impact from this body goes far beyond what we see in this building. And so we are very thankful for those of you who are watching with us, and we do welcome you to participate. We also have giving options, ways to give towards the work of Christ, the kingdom of God. Most recently, we had missionary Jesse Thomas with us, and he was to a little tiny island that I looked up because I couldn't find it, but I think it's Micronesia, and they had a need of $10,000 for their vehicle that they needed in order to do their missions work, and Calvary Gospel Church was able to meet half of that need. So thank you for giving and for helping the gospel to go farther. All of the giving that we do, not all of that stays here. And part of, we just received a letter from headquarters this week. And we were like, oh, really? But Calvary Gospel Church, we were 15th in the nation for missions giving for the last year. So thank you for supporting our missionaries and for giving in the offering and for taking what God has blessed you with and blessing others. So we do have ways that you can give. You can give in person to the kiosk out in the lobby. It's a clear plexiglass box. You can mail it. And I get the pleasure of opening that. Sometimes there's little notes on the mail, so thank you for that. That's always a fun thing to see. And then you can give online. Lots of people like to give online or through the giving app. If you don't know a lot about the app, Pastor Phil would love to teach you that. So thank you for giving and for allowing God to bless others through the gift that you give financially. This Sunday, we have Brother and Sister Vernon going to be here with us. Brother Vernon is here tonight. We're excited about Sunday. It's Holy Ghost Sunday. So after our 10 o'clock classes, we will have a Holy Ghost Sunday. So come expecting. Bring somebody. Tell somebody. Share with somebody. Bring them here. Because the thing that sets us apart is the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's not who we are. It's not the programs that we produce. But it's the lives that are being touched and transformed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And then following that, next Friday, November 4th, all church prayer right here, 7 p.m. So come and join us for that. And if you'll stand with me, we want to pray tonight. A couple of needs. We do want to pray for Sister Vicki Vernon. She's got bronchitis. Seems to hit her frequently at this time of the year, every year. So pray for her. She is struggling to get up and about. She's going to get me for this. She's struggling to get up and about because of her wheelchair. But just pray for her. And then also for Brother Ben. He's been struggling. I cannot pronounce what you have. But it's a hardening of the heart. I can't do it. His heart. He's having some major health issues with his heart. And if we could just have some brothers join around him and pray for him specifically that the Lord would touch him. He has a difficulty with breathing. And I know this is sharing a lot, but sometimes we need to know what our brothers and sisters are going through. And just pray that the Lord would touch them and use them in their ministries as they continue. And then also remember Sister Eileen Manley in your prayers. She's not doing very well, and the family has been in and out over the last couple days. And they're asking for prayer for her specifically for comfort, for rest, and for peace. For her as well as the family in this time. So if you would just join together with someone next to you and just join together in prayer. And as a body, let's bring these needs, any other needs that are here tonight, remember your brothers and sisters in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come together as a family. We can step into your presence and that we know that you are here and that you are a God of victory and that you have already done it. And God, I pray in every need and every situation, those that we're aware of, that we've spoken of tonight, that you would minister healing into the bodies of Sister Vicky and Brother Ben, and that you would be with Sister Manley and her family tonight. God, we pray that you would minister peace and comfort. God, that your presence would be felt in a special way. Help us to remember, Father, that you are here and that you care, and that we can come to you with whatever it is, whether it's something in our body, something we're struggling with in our mind, or maybe we have a need, or maybe we're discouraged, or maybe we just don't have answers that we're looking for. Help us, Lord, to turn to you and to realize that you are in control and that all things work together for good as you lead us. And I pray that you would just have your way tonight. Open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to receive from you what you desire to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Yeah.
Presence of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Whatever you need, whatever you're struggling with, you can leave victorious. I love that. Never lost a battle. Never has, never will. Oh, we think the Dolphins were the only one that had an undefeated season. Not so. And his season has been going on for, oh boy, long time. Long time. You can be seated this evening. If you're a guest of ours, it is great to have you here. We are in a series. We started this on Sunday where we're talking about seven things to overcome for godly, victorious living. And we talked a little bit about ghosts. And some of you are a little, I think maybe a little taken back on the topic as far as talking about ghosts. But understand something, that when we talk about ghosts, we talk about spirits, that when God created us, he created us flesh. That's what we see. So when I look out and I look and I see Brother John Repka, I recognize Brother John Repka because I recognize his flesh recognition, his face. I recognize, that's how I recognize him. Now, some of us, I would like to say that we have a kind enough spirit. Most of us, we should have. I mean, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, he also created us with spirit. So when we die, our flesh dies, but our spirit and our soul lives on. Doesn't stop just because our flesh stops. So we're going to live eternity one day. We're going to live eternity one day in the flesh, in either heaven or hell. And our soul and spirit, if we die, our soul and spirit, we all on the other side, somewhere, someplace, we all come back together, and I'm not for sure how all of that works. This isn't a Bible study on that portion of talking about spirits, but we have a spirit to us. Now, a lot of us, we look at our spirits, and the closest that we can kind of acknowledge what our spirit actually is kind of our personalities. Some of us have people say, well, they have a sweet spirit. A sweet personality. They're very kind. They're very considerate. I want to have the fruits of the Spirit. We talked about fruits of the Spirit. I want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, patience. I want to manifest those fruits in my spirit. So I have part of me is spirit, and then there's my soul. And when God breathed into Adam, man became a living soul. Before that, we were just a clump of dirt that God formed out of the earth. So we look and we talk about seven things to overcome for godly, victorious living. We talked about overcoming ghosts of our past, things that haunted us in our past. And we talked about gorillas, about having big problems. And we made a statement that says, remember what you tolerate, you accept. And so many times we tolerate things in our lives, and before long, what we tolerated, we now accept. That's how our world keeps shifting further and further and further off track, because we just tolerate things. And then after a while, we just slowly accept those things. And so we're going to move on in our study tonight. And we're going to start off tonight with a very kind of a humorous, thing to overcome. And we're gonna talk about gremlins, and gremlins. The Random House Dictionary defines a gremlin as a mischievous, invisible being. Now, understand, a lot of these funny names and titles that we have today actually have a beginning. Where did this come from? I remember reading in a book years ago about the P-38 fighter plane that was developed during World War II. Some of you World War II buffs here, it was the first twin-boom fighter plane. It was an incredible design. It was a state-of-the-art design, but they had a lot of problems with the mechanics of this plane. So it was working on this plane, and as what happens a lot of times during wartime when things are developed, that it kind of bypasses some of the extensive testing stages, and it gets prematurely sent out into the field of battle, and it's like, let the pilots and let the mechanics work it out in the field of battle. So that's what happened. And some of the engine problems and the mechanical difficulties, they begin to chase these problems around the plane. Thus came the nickname of these little mechanical issues. They call them gremlins. Invisible, can't find them, don't know where they came from, and it was here and now it's gone. So we look at this as chasing mechanical issues. Is chasing little gremlins. There was a movie years ago. Some of you may have watched it or remember these little furry creatures that some kid brought home. I don't know where he got them from or where they came from. I don't even remember any of that. But nevertheless, I just remember you didn't get them wet. And when they got wet, they went from a little furry, happy-go-lucky-looking creature to a somewhat of a demonic-looking little gremlin. So the name gremlin, some of you may have remembered the old American Motors Corporation. And American Motors, they developed a car, and it was called a gremlin. And sure as the name, it lived up to its name because it was plagued by mechanical issues from day one. And if you had a gremlin, it probably spent more time on jacks in your driveway than it did on the road. Your tires usually rotted out before they wore out because it was plagued with gremlins. So we look at gremlins. It lives up to its name. Mechanical issues. We have physical gremlins. And we also have spiritual gremlins. And now, just as the physical gremlins cause us to chase issues with our cars or anything mechanical, spiritual gremlins can cause confusion in just about every area of our lives as well. So hear me now. Where you find sin, listen to this, where you find sin, you will find confusion. That's why when Jesus entered into the scene and the demonic spirits confronted him, the first thing he did, Sister Rivas, is he eliminated the confusion. How did he eliminate the confusion? By eliminating the gremlins that were causing the confusion. So we read in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it tells us, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." We read in James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil work. So we can pretty much guarantee that if we have little spiritual gremlins in our life that we're constantly having to battle, we're not for sure where they're coming from, where they're going from, or how we can sometimes even properly identify them, that where there is envy and strife, there's going to be confusion and there's going to be sin. Sin is the root of all of these issues, by the way. Sin is really the root of all of mankind's issues. So when we look at this, the enemy will constantly remind us of our past in hopes that he can create confusion and concern for our future. Now, we looked at, by definition, a gremlin is a mischievous, invisible being, and that sounds a lot like the enemy would like nothing better than to create chaos inside of our heads. Ever let the enemy get into your head? When we rehearse our hurts, how many of you have ever been hurt by someone? Bible talks a lot about being offended. We get hurt. We don't always offend on purpose. Sometimes it's accidental, but we rehearse our hurts. And what happens when we rehearse those hurts, we go over and over in our minds with that. We allow the gremlins of the past to gain a foothold on our future. Understand something. Only God can and will lift you out of your confusion by establishing order in your life. God didn't design us to live in chaotic, sinful conditions. The Garden of Eden was not chaotic and a sinful place. It was a very peaceful place, a place where that God came. Every day God came into the garden and peace came with him. I believe peace was already there. It wasn't until the gremlin came into the garden that chaos began to show up. So when we read in Psalm chapter 18. I'm going to be reading a bit from the message tonight because I think the way the message lays some of this out puts it in a very clear perspective. So Psalm 18:16 says, but me he caught. Reached all the way from sky to sea, he pulled me out of that ocean of hate. The enemy, chaos, the void in which I was drowning, they hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stood me up on a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. Now, when we listened, we read in Psalm 51:7 the same message. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. True, tune me in to foot tapping songs. Set those once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash. How many of you ever felt like you weren't worth anything and maybe God would just be better off to just throw you out with the trash and start all over again? But here the writer says, don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from that gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways. So the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence. God, my salvation, God, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God, and I'll loose with your praise. That's some pretty encouraging words. You see, listen, church, the past is just the past. It's that simple. The past is the past. It's gone. So our next possible issue that we look at that we have to deal with in our lives to overcome for godly victorious living is what Random House Dictionary defines as a small, grotesque, supernatural creature regarded as vindictive, malicious, spiteful towards human beings. And we're looking at what's called a goblin. Have you ever seen a goblin? I've been in Europe before, and we went to a number of large cathedrals. It was fascinating to me, the architecture of some of these. I went to the huge cathedral in Cologne, Germany, and it was actually, if memory serves me, they started building it somewhere around the 800 AD. And when we were there with my father-in-law in the late 90s, they were still repairing it from damage done to it during World War II bombing raids. But they didn't finish it until the 14th century. So that means whoever started building it was long gone and dead hundreds of years before. And I've read stories there that the masons and the carpenters, that they actually raised up their families and their generations. So great, 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 great grandpa started the foundation, and five, six, seven generations later finished the spiral or the steeple. But all over in this huge building, there's all these, I don't know, twisted little gremlins and goblins. Kind of odd for a church. But nevertheless, I guess looking at some of those, malicious, spiteful, I think we need to fully understand the main tactic of the devil is deception. Brother Jerry and I were talking last week and talking about the Garden of Eden and talking about Satan, how that Satan came in and tempted Eve. And everything he said had a little bit of truth in it, but it was a deception. And we have to understand that these small, what we would say are small, grotesque, supernatural creatures, vindictive, malicious, spiteful towards human beings, they parade as light. That's what the scripture says, that the devil, he's like an angel of light. I listened to a gentleman give a short message on Lucifer, and I don't like to give the devil, I don't even give the devil credit for flat tires, because flat tires just wear out. You run over a nail, it just happens. It's just life. So I don't like to give him credit for anything, but this gentleman was talking about how Lucifer looked and Lucifer's position in heaven. And it was absolutely mind-boggling. Listen to this, because the next time we see him, we're going to see him as, are you kidding me? This is the man that deceived the nations? But you see, that's what happens when you fall. When Lucifer fell, he fell from an angelic being, second unto God perhaps, down to just this twisted, spiteful, malicious, vindictive, grotesque little goblin. So we need to fully understand that deception. And the more we understand about his strategy, the easier it is for us to protect ourselves and not play into his hands. And we're talking about overcoming. And in order to overcome, you have to recognize what does our enemy really look like? We look at the Halloween costumes and all this kind of stuff. You know, I don't think the devil looks anything like that. But nevertheless, for 2 Corinthians, Paul's telling the church in Corinthians, because obviously they were struggling with some of this themselves, 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, we are not ignorant of his devices. He's telling the church there, you need to know the tricks and the devices of our enemy. I remember when Sister Terry Spears came a few years ago. She preached a message on recognizing the snakes in the grass. How do you remember that message? I have referred back to that many times because I have run into situations where I'm like, Lord, is this good or is this bad? Because, listen, we can be deceived. I can be deceived. I can be tricked. I've seen a lot of pastors struggle and such with deception. And I want to know. I want to be able to recognize. So on a side note here, I mean, I said I don't like to blame the devil for everything. And we got to be careful about blaming the devil for everything. There's that, you know, proverbial little statement, well, the devil made me do it. Well, you know, sometimes our flesh is just our flesh. And we get mad, and we have a hissy fit, and we throw out all kinds of sailor words. It doesn't always mean that the devil is in our back pocket. Sometimes it's just our plain old flesh being flesh. And we have to understand that if we always blame the devil for everything that goes wrong in our lives, then what's happening is we never take responsibility for anything as far as our own actions goes. Sometimes my flesh is just rotten, and I know it's rotten, and it's not necessarily the devil making it rotten. It's just me being rotten. That's just, and we got to be careful. Understand, Satan doesn't have all power and all authority. And you have no reason to fear Satan's power. Listen, though. We have no reason to fear his power. Respect it, but not fear it. There's a big difference. So we have to understand when we talk about the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, therein lies the power over our enemy. You see, Jesus took away his ability when he triumphed over Satan in his resurrection. So the devil operates. When we look at the devil, we look at these little goblins and gremlins and whatever we want to put a name to. When we look at the devil, he operates in primarily three areas of our lives. So we're going to break this down. Number one, he has the ability to deceive. We see that with Adam and Eve in the garden. What happened in the garden? Eve was deceived. Thus sin entered into the world. He has the ability to accuse. What does James say? In his book, James states that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The devil likes to go around and he likes to try to poke Jesus and say, hey, did you just see what Pastor Peter did? Did you just see what Jane Braisman did? Did you just see what Ty did? You see, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. The reason he does that is because he's got nothing else on us. But we let him. And then he has the ability to tempt. We see that when Jesus, he's our example. He was on a 40-day fast and the devil came to him three different times trying to tempt him. Everything he tried to tempt him with, Jesus took Old Testament scripture and defeated him. Jesus didn't have the New Testament to go by. He couldn't start quoting Paul or couldn't start quoting something Peter said. No, he took Old Testament scripture and defeated the devil. So this is where fear enters in to the equation. When you fear Satan's abilities, you open up the door for him. He loves Christians. Hear me now. He loves Christians. He loves churches who don't know their rights or doesn't take advantage of him by using them. As a citizen of the United States, I have certain rights. And those rights are only good within this country, but they also carry weight outside of this country. Or they can. But he loves it when there are Christians who have been baptized, they've repented of their sins, they've been baptized in the name of Jesus, they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. He loves it when Christians don't know or don't understand exactly what their fringe benefits are. There's a lot of fringe benefits. There's a lot of benefits in being a Christian. And the enemy, if he can transfer fear into your mind, then he has the ability to take advantage of you. What is Job? When we look at Job, Job's a perfect example. I love it sometimes when God gives us examples of people that have gone through all kinds of stuff. Worse than any of us here have ever gone through. But Job tells how he lost his family and fortune. Why? Because of the fear that he allowed to enter into his mind. What does he say in Job chapter 3, verse 25? The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of has come unto me. So if the enemy can transfer fear into your mind, he has the ability to take advantage of you. And the enemy, just like Job says, the thing that I was afraid of the most. So evidently Job had all of this massive amount of wealth, and he was afraid of a stock market crash. And he says, what I feared the most has happened to me. And we as Christians, we have all kinds of things that we fear. But you got to understand, however, he cannot cause fear to remain in your mind, because the scripture tells me that perfect love does what? Casteth out all fear. That's scripture. That's the book. That's the book speaking to us. That's the book telling us, take this and apply it. Make it work in your life. It's a benefit. Use it. We're talking about spiritual strategy here. So many times I look at the devil, and the devil is a scheming, sharp, shrewd spiritual strategist. And he has a plan. As I've heard it spoken by pastors of years of old, where they said the devil on the drawing boards of hell is a plan to destroy your life. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that there's architects sitting down in hell right now with a plan that's got your name on it, and they're trying to figure out, how can we cause this man or this woman to fail? He's a strategist. And he's running out of time. And he knows he's running out of time. So he's working overtime. I believe in these last days that the enemy is actually releasing into society spirits that we have never, ever had to see or deal with in years past. You look at how things have changed. I went to high school in the 70s, the late 70s. And we thought then, boy, man, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad out there. I feel sorry for you poor kids. And then the 80s and then the 90s and 2000. Now we look at where we are now, and it's like, good Lord, how in the world are our kids ever going to take and survive? They will survive and they will thrive if we teach them proper strategy. You better believe the enemy, the gremlins and the goblins and such of this world, are teaching our children their strategies. And they're pushing it on them. And they're pumping it into them every day, every day, every day, every day. And that's where we have to be diligent. We have to be diligent. We have to have our spidey senses. Our spiritual Holy Ghost senses have to be sharp. And we have to strategize, just as the enemy likes to strategize. We're talking spiritual strategy. It's an edge, a strategy that you and you alone, you can either give your life, give your mind over to the enemy, or you can take it away from him, all by how you respond with strategy. You see, Satan has abilities. He has a lot of abilities. He can wreak a lot of havoc. He can make a big mess in a short amount of time. But you have to understand something. Jesus gives us the authority over his ability. Understand that? He gives us the authority over his ability. But Jesus, we have power from on high. Does the Holy Ghost ring a bell to you? Next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, is Holy Ghost Sunday. Our musicians can come. This Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. And we're going to be, Brother Ben's going to be here, and Sister Vicky's going to be here, and they're going to be teaching and preaching about the Holy Ghost. Now, what's going to happen is 90% of us are going to be thinking about, oh, who around here doesn't have the Holy Ghost? Who needs the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah, we got four over there. We got one over here, one over there. I'm good. I got it. I don't need it. And then we'll leave here, and between now and Sunday, we'll let the devil into our mind. We'll let him into our back pocket. We'll give him a ride to work with us. We'll sit down and invite him to have lunch with us. We fuss and we fight and we complain and we bellyache because the enemy has just beat us up all week long. And it's like, well, where's your Holy Ghost? What do you think it's for? It's not just for speaking in tongues, folks. The Holy Ghost quickens our minds. The Holy Ghost gives us that edge that we need to fight the daily fight that we fight. We win it or lose it every day, depending upon how we apply the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost in our lives. So let's stand. We're going to stop here. I do have more points, but I don't want to get halfway into one and have to finish, start one and end next week. So we'll just stop right here. Overcoming, seven things to overcome for godly victorious living. We're going to battle. I've said this before. And sometimes the battle gets intense. But you're in a battle, whether you want to be in it or not. And whether or not you win it is up to you. I can't win it for you. I can supply you with the right tools for the job. But I can't make you do it. This is something we have to do on our own. We have to say, you know what? I'm tired of fighting what I'm fighting. If you're dealing with anger issues, I'm tired of fighting the little demons and the little gremlins and the little goblins of anger. I'm tired of fighting lustful issues. Doesn't always have to be pornography. You can lust after other people's stuff. Every time somebody gets a new cell phone, oh, I gotta have a new cell phone. You're lusting. Pride is a big issue. We could be so full of pride that we won't ever admit that we're wrong. A lot of Christians are pride issues. We have all these issues. Why? Because we all have flesh. We all fight it. So tonight, as Sister Brittany begins to sing for us, what is that one thing that you greatly feared the most? You have fear in your life? Are you afraid? Just want to open up this altar as a chance for you to come and pray. Say, God, I need your perfect love in my heart, in my life, to cast out all fear, all doubt. I need the Holy Ghost to renew. It's been a while since maybe you've spoken in tongues. Maybe you need some help. Grab a brother, grab a sister. We're in this together. We're battling this battle together. We're not fighting. Yeah, sometimes we're alone, but we have our brothers, our sisters, our family. That's why God has placed us in a family. God wants us to overcome. God wants us to live victoriously. God bless you. To
soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life and all I am. I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. Lord, all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. Oh, Jesus. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. I give it all, Lord. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. You'll never fail. You never fail, Lord. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. trust what you say, Lord, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, and my flesh may fail, but my God, you
Church, I talked about how the enemy loves Christians who don't know their rights or doesn't take advantage of them by using them. We say, well, Pastor Roy, what are my rights? As Bishop used to tell us, from Genesis to maps, this is our book of rights. But it's also book of responsibilities. And with your rights comes responsibilities. So you want to know what they are? Just dig in there. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Job, all good Old Testament books. They teach us about our God, and they teach us about ourselves. So God bless you. We will be back here on Sunday morning with Brother and Sister Vernon. They'll be ministering to us in Holy Ghost Sunday. So God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship team, to our sound overhead. If you join us online tonight, thank you so very much. God bless you. We will see you back here Sunday morning. God bless you.